Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, September 29th.
Yep.
Wow. Ooh. Hosting along with myself tonight, we got
a full house.
We do have a full house. We'll make our rounds here, but I'll say the man on the mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you doing?
What's happening?
Nothing.
Smiling? So
that's a devious smile, so watch out.
You gotta read Gary's face to know what you're up against.
Yeah.
So we'll see what that devious smile is all about.
You just never know.
Right? What do we decide to call you? I keep kind of mad at you.
We're moving too fast. Hey, I can't believe. Kevin Trell.
We're not talking about Kevin Trell unless he's in the seat. Remember?
Okay.
He's got to come in.
Sorry.
Kevin Trell doesn't exist until he's called in. So.
All right. You got me.
But we do thank you for checking.
Early.
Well,
not like 3 minutes left in the show.
Right, you know, that tells me one of two things. Either he likes the show or there's some kind of political debate going on somewhere else that there's nothing else to watch on TV. I'm not sure which one it is.
He said on his couch, so no telling what he's doing there.
No, he said he was going to be here early.
So
he's looking forward to having me on the radio, so he could see me. He likes me.
Wasn't the last time you guys were here together? Well,
yeah.
I'm sorry, I was probably gone last.
Well,
I don't remember. I know when I was here one time, both you and Kevin were here, but I think you or Kevin had come.
I played with Cindy once.
Yeah, one time. Yeah, and I'm sorry. Cindy's probably better to deal with than me.
You finally said it. I don't
I don't disagree. If you guys want, we'll put a poster of her in front of me here while we're talking. I just have a little deeper voice.
You're not girls.
And you know what? No, I will apologize in advance. But speaking of Cindy, you can get a hold of her anytime by calling here clear at
725-333-4327. Thank you, Gary.
Yep. So, I don't know what he's thanking you for, but he said thank you.
He just turned my headset on and turned it back.
Well, that was probably him.
Yeah. He was messing with it.
So it's off now?
Can
you hear?
Again.
You know what?
I don't need the headset.
You hear yourself too much anyway.
Yeah. I can hear myself talking.
Yeah, Chuck's the one that makes the meter go all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to adjust
constantly. It makes you work for a living.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah,
there's a whole channel that just says
Gary's
Chuck.
Move button.
Yep, exactly. Keep him busy.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we'll move on to Matt Esposito. How
here.
You doing? Here?
I'm doing all right.
I forget what we started calling you. Something good, something bad. I'm not sure.
The fly on the wall?
That we moved past that.
Okay.
Yeah. That was 2 years ago.
We were missing this stuff all the time, so Mr. Fix-It, I guess.
The flower guy?
Yeah. I don't know if you want to be called the flower guy, but...
Hey, I'm staying busy. We're getting 3 to 4 funerals a day.
Well, thank you, Corona.
I'm making money, so don't wear a
now,
mask.
I'm not saying they're all Corona deaths, but maybe on paper. Nah, I don't want to start a political or any kind of conspiracy stuff right now. But, hey, great show lined up for you guys tonight. We got Ethan D. Guevara. But we also bought some of your backup here in case we beat you up too much.
I'm just here to watch.
Chuck's
I was his taxi here. Uber driver.
So we got Chuck hanging out and
that guy.
Glenn, I'm sorry, yeah, Glenn. I don't have
Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's. I can barely remember Gary's name. So Glenn.
Yes.
That's always I never think Glenn. I mean, you look on some back shows and stuff like that. I can't remember. Glenn for the life of
for
me.
Glenn.
So. But thank you for getting here. I think you're Washington? Yeah, that's what I thought for a long time. But what you don't mind me asking, what brings you in town? You came to pick on Gary?
Yeah, well, that too. But
okay.
Orange County, California.
Right.
Retiring, so.
Oh,
kind of
cool.
Dual
purpose. Well, cool. But, you know, because we don't get to see you much. But we get to see your work, so if you want to know who knows more than us before we even know, go to the BomberNation.com website and click on the message board links, and you can see stuff that we don't even know exists.
Yeah,
like,
where the hell did Glenn come up with this?
Yeah,
stuff up before he's even...
So, but anyways, appreciate what you do.
He has stuff up before we get home from
right.
the racetrack.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And sorry for my Alzheimer's. It just every day, every Tuesday, it gets worse. Sometimes it's selective too, by the way. But not
most of the time it's selective.
So. Anyways, we got Ethan here. And if you see me look at my phone once in a while, it's not because I'm bored and like, hey, when's this getting over? It's because I usually have my computer and I just don't have it with me tonight. So
yeah.
We might have to look at yours. So. We'll see what's interesting on his. What's on your computer today? No. But Ethan, if you don't know who he is, he's going to tell us about who he is tonight. And thank you
yeah.
for being here. And
anytime.
You know, Chuck's, you know, kind of fill us in once in a while.
Don't say anytime, because if you say anytime, you're going to be like Chuck and just wander in.
Well, for you, it's okay.
Yeah.
For him, no. We appreciate everything you guys do for us. So, you know, just hanging out, listening in, and telling your friends, and you know,
well,
we're
Ethan's got nothing else to do. There's no baseball, there's no football, there's no racing,
right? That's it. Nothing happening. The world is dead right now. Yeah, yeah.
And he's always on baseball or
right.
football or
well, you know what? That's good. We'll take this opportunity, you know, for what it is, and we do appreciate you being here. You know, being young, I remember kind of having all that energy. But tell us a little bit about your side of the story. You know, when did you first get into the racing end of it? I mean, was it here in Vegas? And what's
yeah,
your earliest memory of it?
It was here in Vegas. I started when I was 8, raced Bandoleros for about 6 years.
I mean, did you even know?
I mean,
racing?
Yeah, I've always came to the racetrack since I was 2, watching my dad race.
Right.
My earliest memory at the Bullring was when I watched my dad catch fire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's not a memory you think you don't, you know, that you
want
to remember, but
yeah.
Were you scared? Do you remember being scared, or you just thought, hey, that's a cool fire?
Yeah, I didn't even really know what to believe.
Right. What was happening?
I just knew it was my dad, and he was on fire. So that was my earliest memory. Then I always knew I just wanted to be in a race car.
After that fire, you're like, I got to do this.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, but... I mean, was that part of the excitement of being at the track? Is like
yeah,
the smells, the excitement. I mean, obviously the you know fires are never good, but that's you know something that.
But then it's part of intrigue of why it happened, and
right.
can I do something to help my dad not let it happen again?
Right.
Yeah. So, I always was just able to connect with racing somehow, being able to just felt always had that connection with me, which is I. Didn't want to ever get out of it.
So the Bandoleros was your first experience
yeah.
on the track, or have you done any go-kart racing?
No, I didn't do any go-kart
like
racing.
Okay.
I just went straight into Bandoleros. I mean, I had a go-kart at one point, but then we got rid of it. I just didn't want to drive it anymore.
Right. But you did?
I did.
Well, not on the track,
no,
though? You just kind of went around?
Just
know.
Around the parking lot.
Yeah.
And didn't like it, so I just got rid of it. So I jumped in a Bandolero.
Do you remember what your dad was racing at that time? Was it
I think it was
like
super late.
Super late models? Wow.
I think it was super late.
That's pretty cool because, you know, at that age, when you see these super late models, you know, those are real-life race
like
car
like,
drivers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Look like NASCARs. You're like, wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so that's pretty cool to know, hey, my dad's out there. He's racing and doing this kind of stuff. Do you remember some other competitors out there that he was racing against?
Actually, I know one was – he's actually now my high school football coach.
No way.
Yeah, his name's Mike Cofer.
Oh, yeah, Mike Cofer, right?
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah, he's now my high school football coach, and I always –
you get
know,
a little special treatment at –
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, Mike. Mike Cofer, you know, if you've been on the racetrack at all here at the Bullring, you know that name. He came out full force and was able to, really competitive. He had some of the best equipment. I think he rode for
Jerry Spilsbury.
You know, and he just had some really good equipment.
I was with him in 2005 when we won the championship together.
No way.
Yeah, he was obviously in Supers and I was in Bombers.
What was your connection? Just there and
yeah. we he's a pretty funny guy.
Yeah.
He's hilarious. Oh yeah. Well, ask him about the Night of Champions.
When you see him, tell him to come in. We'll have him in. Tell him to tell his own story.
Oh, yeah. Sure, he's got a lot.
especially if he's not doing anything right now, you know. But that's cool. So Mike Cofer, yeah, that's definitely a name that a lot of guys are familiar with. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's the only one I really remember that stuck out.
Right.
I always hear him talking about stories about how he raced my dad.
When did you find out that he was, you know, I mean, obviously you knew him from the track, but when did you find out he was your coach?
I found out actually when I was in his office here in a football meeting.
That's
and
funny.
My first year playing football was, I think it was eighth grade year. First time ever touching the football field, we had a football meeting, and I see a souffle on the wall.
No way.
Yeah,
that's cool. You're like, come.
It's like, I know that. And then in the background, you can kind of see my dad's car.
No way. That's
funny.
That's cool, though, huh? You're probably like,
I was like,
man, I.
All right. And then I went and asked my dad, and he's like, yeah, I know him.
Wait a minute. Was that a good, yeah, I know him? Or,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. That's funny. That's cool. You know, so Gary. You know, when sometimes I think, you know, hey, do these sponsor photos and plaques ever really mean anything to these companies that put them up? But there's a prime example why it does make a difference.
Yeah.
You know, something like that could just change your whole outlook or you know, conversation, anything to have these things up. You know, just something that as little as a plaque might seem, they go ways. You know, so that's cool. That's a cool story. And then. Did you guys start talking any racing? Did you bring it up to him? Or?
Usually it's here and there. We're usually talking about like football, ways to get better and all that. But when he'll usually make like football, or not football, baseball, not baseball. Well, racing references on how to be better in football and baseball.
That's cool. So he's kind of crossing the different sports together to help you understand, you know, kind of the best outcome.
But doesn't give you a leniency on race night. you have to be at practice.
Right.
Yeah. Can I leave early for the race?
Nah, you can be here. Football's more important.
It's more Friday night than you.
Right.
You got football Friday, so
you
couldn't be there.
No kidding. Well, you know, but that's important, you know, to a young mind, you know, a young person, for their discipline and everything for sports, you know, so you realize, you know, racing is fun and important, a lot more important for us guys that don't have that. But if we, you know, we can rewind, we might want to do some more football and some more baseball and things like that, other sports, I think. I mean, I would, but no. Chuck, did Mike Cofer ever tell you any stories about your dad?
Not really. It's usually that how they always race with each other. And not, I don't remember any stories that they have. I'm sure there's lots of great ones that they have.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. But I don't really remember any of
that. Does he ever give you any racing pointers? Like, have you ever?
He's actually been to one of my races.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's really, really cool, man.
Yeah. He actually gave me a racing pointer about how when to not use the brake balance bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's important because that's something that, like, you know, a lot of guys don't even touch. Once you're on the track, sometimes just leave it alone. I know, you know, you don't want to tune yourself out of a race sometimes. You're like, oh, I don't want to do this and then not be able to go back, you know. But that's cool.
Yeah, it gave me some pointers on the brake balance bar and was able to pull. I never really fully understood it.
Right.
Until then we got together. We talked about it more. And then we basically it. We just,
that's cool. Well, you know what? And then, you know, we take these pointers from the guys that, you know, like Chuck, for instance, you know, someone like Chuck here that knows, you know, that's been there, that knows the differences in making the right decision, wrong decision on the track or something like that. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. You can get some pointers from someone like Mike Cofer, you know.
Yeah.
Plus on the football side of it, you know, he's comes from a pro background too.
Yeah.
On top of it, so
49ers.
You know, it's funny though, because with these cars today, like I try to teach my kid how to race,
mm-hmm.
Joe, right? I teach him how to race when he was younger, but today their cars are not the same. So I can't relate to these cars.
Well, that's a good point, because there is a gap, you know, because you think of an old late model versus a new super
exactly.
late model. These are two different, technology-wise, two different beasts.
And that's the problem I'm running into myself,
right.
Because Joe, his dad is in it.
Yeah.
His dad has to teach him, even
right.
though I taught my son, but my son it was a different generation of car.
Well, there's a difference too.
We ran truck springs and cut them down, you know.
Right. Yeah, you make stuff work, right?
So that's where he's learning from his old man now.
Right.
And I'm on my way out anyway of racing, so.
You keep saying that, but I hear you keep poking your nose in there.
Ask him. He'll say.
Yeah.
Is he really that kind?
Yeah,
maybe.
I think.
Are you guys forcing him out or
no?
I'm just joking, yeah. Chuck. Well, you know, they tell you, hey, the way to get rid of me is to dethrone me, right? So these guys got to dethrone you, Chuck. You're out. You guys dethroned them already. So yeah.
I'm on my way out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know what? Even though physically he's not there, his wallet should always still be there for you.
I don't know. I vote Chuck for announcer at the bull ring.
Yeah, that's right. I've asked for that spot already.
Yeah, you know, you never know. But if you're announcing to nobody, that's the easiest job in the world.
I've been announcing in karting for years.
Right.
You know, so in karting, I did all IKF and all the big karting races, and I did that for years. So back when his dad was racing karts,
that's cool.
And
that's amazing.
And I did all the big races for that stuff, and I enjoyed announcing. I'm not afraid of the microphone.
Right. You know, and that's.
I gotta watch my language. I'll pull off an FU in a second.
Right. Well, you know what? And that type of announcing is tough, man. I don't know how many races now, but out in Pahrump, I did it a couple times, and that's not easy. It's really for, I mean, maybe for you it was, but
yeah.
Even though we do this, that to me was a total different type of beast, I guess.
Oh,
you know,
it's
just
all about keeping the people's mind moving.
Right. And that's what I wasn't good at. I think I was taking it too personal. Like I was watching different people's reactions, and I had a heckler. Like, I guess he was a regular there that was telling me exactly what I wasn't doing right the whole time. You know, so I was like, oh, okay, thank you.
The only one guy in the whole place
right. telling me what to do. Right?
Yeah, you focus on that.
Yeah, exactly. That's
good
all I could think of. So. But you know what? The next time I did it, I learned, you know, hey.
Rhythm.
Right.
It's a rhythm.
Yeah. And, you know, and getting to know the racers out there and stuff, that's another thing.
Well,
I wasn't
like
familiar with things.
You've got four classes.
Right.
In karting, you've got 14 classes.
Well, yeah, and they're all unique in their own way. I can't even tell you.
Some
I couldn't even tell you the difference between
kart to kart.
Right.
So
that's
trying
tough.
To keep up with everybody. But it was a blast.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Well, that's cool. Hopefully you'll land
no,
something that we'll hear you announce it. If not, the bull ring. Yeah.
We'll keep you in racing one way or another.
That's
yeah,
right.
Thanks.
Yeah, as long as you got your foot in the door, your wallet's in the door. So. But
you know, he knows I'm on my way out.
Yeah.
So
do you see that as a good thing or a bad thing? Because he's always been part of your racing career, right? Your racing life. He's always been there and all that. What do you think it's going to be like if he's not there sticking his nose in it? I mean that in a good way, by the way.
Yeah.
So.
I think that it's going to be a lot different.
Yeah.
I think that with him going out, yeah, everybody goes out. So it's
sure.
I think it'll be a different change.
But when you say you're getting out of it, you're getting out of more of the being involved with it, but you're still going to be supporting it and spectating and different things like that. Is that
in my retirement? I'm getting ready to retire.
I know
so
you
I'm
keep
really
saying
not,
that. But...
I am. I've got a well, and they can't retire during COVID.
No, that's
sure,
true. That's
but,
true. Right.
But my going where I'm going with him, I promised him And I've made a commitment to him to his to the day he graduates high school.
That's cool.
Now, remember, he's going to graduate in high school in a year and a half from now.
Right.
And when that graduation takes place, we're talking about him graduating in the end of May or beginning of June.
Wow.
Falls, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to cut him off halfway
sure,
through the season.
Sure. Just because you retired.
Yeah, just
or
because,
yeah.
Okay, you graduated, we're done. You
right.
know,
so the
right,
motor home's cool. not going to be in the parking lot of the graduation.
Wait for him to leave.
Have you thought about what kind of graduation present you want from start putting it out there.
He's got
it. Yeah, in the work. Oh, yeah.
He has.
He's already received graduation.
Well,
you know what?
Birthday, anniversary, old age.
Since you already got it, you feel that more. See, that's the good thing about already getting it in advance.
Yeah. He's got it right now, and it's being fixed.
That's cool. You know.
Yeah.
I hate to see Chuck retire. First of all, but second of all. You kind of think he's going to be out of it. I think he'll always kind of be involved some way.
Hey, but the name is on.
I'll be in the grandstand.
That's right. And that's cool. Because you kind of start seeing a different perspective, knowing he's going to be in the grandstand and wave to him.
Yeah,
he'll
be in the grandstand together.
Until you make a move that he's not happy with, and he'll be right in the pits in somebody's face.
Yeah. It's on his dad at that point.
Okay, so, all right.
Yeah.
We'll see, right, Gary?
Uh-huh.
We'll see. We'll see how long he sits in the pit or in the stands. Yeah. Well, that's cool. So go. Right? Someone that locks.
Yeah.
With a padlock.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, exactly. Only one guy can let you leave. No, that's cool. I hate to see that, but at some point, you're just basically getting going on your career. I'll call it a career, but, the hobby and the sport of racing along with all the other stuff you're doing, but Bandolero's a good place to start. You're got the king of Bandolero's sitting right here, so that's got to be a good feeling to start off in something that works.
Yeah, it definitely was a great way, I thought, that be able to start with me being able to start there, and then as I worked out through my 6 years that I raced in them, I won the Nevada State Championship.
That's cool.
I think it was seventh or eighth in the nation for Bandos. And then there's a bunch of other things that I won. But the only thing I was really upset that I didn't get was I never won the championship in a Bando at the Bullring.
Well, sometimes, you just don't get some of the things you want, but that's encouragement for other things. You just don't know how that helps.
Yeah. He had an opportunity to win the championship when he was 12.
Right.
Okay. Now, 12 at the time, he could choose to be in a bandit. A bandit.
I was going
to
ask about bandit versus
bandit,
the outlaw.
Or versus an outlaw.
Yeah. Okay.
He was leading the points at 12 years old. And he walked up to NASCAR. First he walked up to Grandpa and said, Grandpa, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm bandits. I don't want to be on a restricted plate anymore.
Right.
And he's leading the points by a good margin.
Wow.
And I said, are you sure you want to do this? You want to declare yourself as an outlaw the day after? Now, remember, his birthday was on a Saturday. On a Friday, he was still as a bandit. On Saturday, he went up and declared himself as an
outlaw
and gave up all of his points.
Wow. So it was yours.
So
inside, you actually have a.
I was disappointed for him, but he chose what he chose. Well, he wanted to go fast.
Yeah, and you know what? Don't. Hopefully you don't ever feel like that was a bad decision, because those decisions are decisions that help form your future,
it
and different things.
A better racer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You chose to go a direction that you felt was right, and that's good. I'm glad that you made that decision.
I am too. I'm not disappointed that he didn't win the championship. I understand. I was heartbroken for him because I knew that he was going to win the championship at 12 years old.
Right.
But on a Friday, he was a bandit. On Saturday, he was an outlaw.
Cool.
We pulled the restrictor plate off it, and he was fast. So,
what'd you think of that speed difference? I mean, this is exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, I always wanted to be able to go faster. And
were you trying to impress any girls or anything like that?
No.
Oh, okay. I just wanted it. You know, 12, 13, you.
Yeah. Well, I always had that edge of wanting to be able to go fast, and as soon as I turned that age limit that I had to be, I just wanted to get out.
Wow. Well, that's good. You know, it's good to be decisive and know what you want. So, mm-hmm. Cool. And then,
really cool,
how many years did you do the Outlaw?
Yeah, I did it for about
two years. Okay.
2-3 years.
Yeah, he did it for two. He did it from right when he turned 12, which would have been a half a season.
Right.
So he finished his half a season at 12. He did all of 13, and then right up to the day he was old enough to get in my super stock car, which was, again, right dead in the middle of the year.
Yep.
So I ran the first five races.
Yeah, I remember you.
I ran the first five.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as he turned 14, which was – there was a small gap in there because of the way the holiday came into play because his birthday is in May. He went from being in his bando straight into our super stock car. And I got kicked out.
Okay.
So I got kicked out of the super stock car, and then he was in my super stock car the rest of the time for the next year and a half.
So we're not talking that long ago either.
No, it
for
wasn't.
This. So
as soon as I turned 14, I was in a super stock. First race I ever ran I got third.
What'd you think? I mean, you went right into a full size. I mean, did you get practice obviously in that at all? No, you just was like, hey, here I go. That's
even,
cool.
He didn't even know how to drive a stick.
That is cool.
I learned how to drive a stick
in the parking lot.
right there.
Well,
right there.
Backing out of the pit.
That's the way to do it, man. That's the way to do it.
He hopped in his car and went straight to staging with it. And
really?
After he stalled it. And
heck
stalled
yeah.
It,
you guys really kicked Chuck out. Huh? Get the hell out of his car.
He did his job.
That is cool. I'm glad to hear that. That's exciting to me.
Yeah, hold my Kool-Aid.
Watch this. Exactly.
But he had to learn how to shift it, how to do everything correctly on his own, get on track. His dad and I told him, look, here's your first year leaving the pit area.
Right.
Here's your second year. By the time you hit the top of the hill and you start to drop in, you need to be in high gear. And that was all he needed to know. And so
he did everything.
He took off and shifted. By the time he started down into the racetrack from the entrance, he was in high gear and he did his job. And after that, he kept learning it.
What do you think, man? I mean, we're at those moments when this was happening, I mean, was that exciting? Or were you just like, another day at the office?
It was definitely a huge difference because having to know how big your car is now that you can get up next to the wall. And being able to, you can use your bumper more,
right?
And being able to move someone and then drive underneath him.
Well, because the bandos, even though you're an outlaw, you still kind of are on the gas most of the time. You don't lift, I guess,
you
a whole lot
at all.
An outlaw. Okay, but here you got enough horsepower.
And there's so much track to drive when you're an outlaw.
You
get into a big car and you're
you got
left
track.
Track turns into a Hot Wheels track.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the hell?
Do you remember making any mistakes that, oh, crap, I wish I didn't do that?
Yeah, I remember making a few. I eventually, at one point, was going up the hill and shifted into third too quick.
Okay.
And stalled it on the hill.
Oh, man.
That was an experience because I didn't know how to get back up the hill.
Did they have radios during that time? Okay. So were you getting it in your ear?
Superstock class always.
Oh, they did? Okay, I didn't know that. Well, I know back in the day, this dates back pretty far now. When I was racing the super stocks, they probably called something else. They didn't have radio.
That was
they
like 1932 or something.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Radios
yeah,
didn't exist.
You were a 19-second car. You were fast.
Yeah, back then it was a different.
Yeah,
super stocks come along. They're one of my favorite,
cars.
And I always say that, but they're one of my favorite divisions because they're stock car class still. You know, you're starting to see those go away. But
yeah. So he learned.
Cool.
Figured all out.
Cool.
You know,
so who was spotting? Was it
me or his daddy?
One or the other. Do you remember anybody yelling at you? Like,
all the time.
Turn the radio down?
Yeah, most of the time I just wanted to pull out my headset.
Well, you know what? Cause sometimes you want to make your own decision, whether it's right or wrong, right, when you're on the track. So you remember making some mistakes, and you know we learn from mistakes. So
I made a few. Learned that on restarts that I can drive it in farther and don't have to lift at the same point. I would lift at full speed. Those are some good pointers that I had him remind me that you don't need to do that. You can stay in the gas longer and be able to drive it in farther.
Could you feel obviously it's a full size, so you got more a different type of suspension than in Vanilla. Did you feel that car react more in that full size? You can actually feel what's happening.
Yeah, because I was able to. I had like an 8-to-1 box or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
When you want it to turn, it'll turn
right
now.
Right.
So I definitely had to get really used to that. But it was definitely a change.
Was there anybody on the track that you felt like was always there, you know, whether you wanted them there or not, you know, you're bumping into them or they're bumping into you.
Yeah, any particular at times. Time? Usually it was like me, Camden Larson.
Okay.
Matt Cunningham.
Sure.
I don't even remember Chad Maddows.
Oh, yeah, Chad. Yeah, that's Chad.
Had him, you know, him always race together.
Cool.
And one of my few races that I had, I think it was my first or second race, I started on pole and I was going nuts in the car because I didn't know what I was doing.
Wow, that's good. That's exciting. First time you get pole, you know. Where were you? Like, you had butterflies? I mean, just.
Yeah, I thought.
You already kind of plan out what you wanted to do.
I probably couldn't swallow. Not so dry.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Those are crazy. Yeah, those,
swallow nothing. There was no
yeah.
spit.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do everything right. I need to do everything right.
Yeah,
get at least one lap around, and then I can settle everything down.
Right, you start calming down. That's cool. I remember some of my first times where I got pole or something like that. It's like excited but nervous. Then I was like, you kind of look to see who's around you.
Where
see,
is okay, everybody?
Here's how I'm going to – this guy drives like this. This guy's like this. This guy's going to get into my bumper. I know it. You know, so you kind of plan out what's happening. Is that kind of a scenario?
I didn't just even know what I was thinking.
You're just going, right?
Yeah. I knew that I just had to go, and I had to go. So I think I finished like second or something.
You guys shift now, like on start training, or you could just kind of get the RPM that you want
to
be in?
He never had to shift. Once he was in high gear, we had the motor set up in the camshaft and set up to where he was. He never really
in the
had
gear.
To shift. He stepped on the gas, and he just pulled away from people, but then they would catch him at the other end.
Right,
and,
so you kind of
have
it adjusted that way.
So the one advantage that we did have with Ethan was that we did not have to have him. I didn't even have to shift. I mean, it was a choice.
I think that's better, myself.
We really didn't have to, so we just whooped the throttle, and it would and that car would pick itself up and leave.
Cool.
So, it was a really, really powerful race. You know, good motor we had in the car. So
cool.
Legitimate motor.
Legal, 100% legit.
It glad you clarified.
It was a motor that was in that car. Yeah, it was lit. That's cool. So, you know, obviously, you jump into a full size. I mean, that's got to be exciting. You're getting out there. You're getting some experience. At any point, did it get kind of boring, or you know, you just kind of relax? You just learn more.
It was more. I would say it was more nerve wracking than anything. I wasn't ever really scared of the car because I knew that I was safe in the car.
Right.
But it was just more of the fact that I got thrown into the wolves. And
right.
Go do your best. Hope for the best.
Well, you know, sometimes you get thrown in the deep end and you learn how to swim, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is. So.
Yeah, that was a choice he made. You want to turn 14, you want to race big car. Okay, there it is. You're 14.
Right. Oh, by the way, it's happening right now.
Right now. Get your uniform on and you're going to drive out and drive a stick.
We'll teach you. Yeah, you got 5 minutes here. We're going to teach you.
30 seconds. Go to the gas,
that's
down
low. But then again, you and his dad had to have enough confidence that he was capable of doing it, or else you wouldn't have let him out.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean,
they didn't care. They just said, go race.
Since the first day that he's gotten in a car, I've never not had any confidence in his ability to go fast.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's done some crazy shit in his Bandolero after he got older. We went out to the Havasu, and he got all crazy out there and stuck the car in the fence. We rebuilt the car front and rear and forgot to put the nuts and bolts back in the front suspension, and he still went out there and went, quick time. So
three tires, they still winning.
Yeah, it was about what was happening.
That's crazy. That's cool.
I've never had no doubt about it, Matt. I've never doubted the fact that that Ethan's ability was always there. And now that he's running as modified, it's even better.
That confidence in you, did you feel that? Can you tell that transfer into your driving style? These guys, you know, put everything into it, knowing that they're confident in what you have to offer.
Yeah, I definitely think it was building up to being at that point was definitely, it felt like they knew what I was doing and had a lot of trust in me to be able to handle a big car.
Right.
And speaking of Havasu, I had my first big wreck in a big car.
Right.
And had the...
What happened? I mean, was it... multiple car situation?
All
or,
by himself.
All by myself. Yep. I have the throttle stuck wide open.
Oh, that's right. I mean, you did talk about that, but I guess to reiterate what happened.
Yeah,
I
went Dotto got stuck wide open.
And this was after
checker flag.
The checker flag. Yeah.
Right after the checker flag, I lift off the gas and I still see the foot, the pedal
right,
on the floor.
Stuck. Wow.
I was like,
that's a scary
okay,
feeling.
This is going to happen. And all I remember was shutting my eyes and
that was it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. And then I just, all I hear is nothing. It's just dead silent. And
yeah.
I'm just, well, there's fire. I got to get out.
Right. So,
yeah.
I mean, and if you don't have an experience in a race car, these things happen like this.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at it from the outside, you see things a little differently. Like, I would have done this or I would have done. It's not like that. When you're in that seat, these things are happening and you're making these, you know, split second decisions, you know, that you just don't, you know.
Or not.
They just happen. Yeah, no, exactly, because they do happen so fast. And, you know, when you look from the outside, you know, you think a little different. But, yeah, to experience it, if you haven't experienced it, I say get in a skid plate car and go racing. Yeah, but
he, you know, he learned something from that.
Yeah.
He'll carry into the rest of his racing career, however long as he's racing cars. He learned something from that. He knows now, you know, the first thing he did was what every driver does, it panics and steps on the brake.
Right.
And the car's just going to go straight.
Right.
Now he knows. And after that happened, we had his Bandle there. Mm-hmm. And we had the Tim Mastering's bomber car. That's what he killed. He killed Tim Mastering's bomber car.
Okay.
So he learned and he understood more that no matter you're going to wreck, it's how hard you're going to
wreck. Right. How are you going to want him?
Right. And I said, you know,
yourself.
If the throttle sticks wide open, you got to try to make the corner.
Right. Side swipe it, not
yeah,
head on.
Hit it, but you may not hit it like he did. He
right.
He hit it so direct.
Ooh. Yeah.
That the hood of Timmy's car sheared off and the hood went over the billboards and still had the hood pins in it.
Wow. No way.
Still had all but one hood pin in the car. It was still, the pin was still there and the
unbelievable.
Hood, yeah, they were still in the car. That's how hard he hit it directly at
right.
the angle that he had hit it at. So when we got done with that, I said, look, if this ever happens to you again, and I explained it to him. And this is where experience comes in. I've had a throttle stick on me before more than once.
But I had
happened on dirt.
Right.
Where he
I
had
asphalt,
had to
that
have
hurts
a
lot more.
Yeah, the
that's
way
for
different.
Sure.
So he learned, let's not stand on the brake. Let's
but you know what?
Take that 1 second, start steering
mm-hmm.
and start driving, and then reach over and hit that switch
right.
and kill it. You're still going to wreck.
Right.
But you're just not going to wreck at the angle that you were wrecking at.
Well, you know what? And I can tell you today, if that happened to me, the first thing I would probably do is step on that brake, you know,
that's
because that's what you are,
yeah,
that's
what
you know.
Think.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Why
but,
can't you drive it like a dirt car and just
right.
wheel that?
You know, that's where, like you said, experience comes in. That's now next time, that's experience. That's wisdom. You know, that's things you learn.
It'll flash to him
right.
in a second if it
right.
happens
and
again.
And you guys talking about it after it happened, you know, that embeds.
But, and
embedded.
Now his modified has a stirrup in it.
Okay.
So
yeah, so you can lift it backwards. Yeah, and that's you see a lot more of that in like the modifieds and things like that.
Yeah.
Not really in the stock
right.
car, where sometimes they still use cable accelerator pedals in some of these stock car classes and stuff, which is crazy to me. But you know, because you don't have that option to pull that pedal back.
He has that in his mod now.
Yeah.
So now he can.
So
he does have a stirrup.
You know, so you must have got comfortable with, you know, even after a wreck like that, you learn from it. Did you have any fears going into the next race or the next
it was actually 15 minutes later.
No,
I jumped back
no,
into
no Bando. Fear, right? These
no.
You guys had no fear.
Jumped
so
back
congrats.
Into jumped back into a Bando and was able to
cool.
qualify on the pole and then won it.
Heck yeah. Well, you know what? Might as well come out looking like roses. Right?
But he paid the price for it
yeah.
Physically.
Yeah.
You know, he was sore and bruised all over.
You know, and I know I'm probably everybody in this room that has raced has been in a wreck of some sort that we could feel, you know.
Still, weeks
still,
later.
Yeah. Still.
When you're older, weeks later, when you're young,
right.
a day
right.
or two later.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
a day or two later maybe,
yeah.
but no, so, you know, it sucks that happened. But sometimes, you know, you'd rather get those out of the way now because the worst ones, if you don't get them now, you get them later. So I'm glad that's out of the way.
Yeah.
Right. So how about your next time in a full-size car? Did you have confidence knowing that, obviously, you know, you came out of there okay, you know, so the safety equipment did what it was supposed to do. Did you go into your next race knowing, hey, I'm confident, I'm going to overcome. Because yeah, I think a lot of people, what they do, they and I know from experience, I've kind of backed off a little. I had to ease back into going in the corners the way I was, you know, doing a little different, you know, because I was a little bit, you know, gun shy when that happened.
Yeah.
Did you just go in there full force, or did you kind of feel a little bit of where you had to learn to get back into the corner deeper and things like that?
I think it was definitely a bigger, it felt to me like a big boost of confidence. Like,
okay.
Wow, I can be able to, honestly, if I drove that car again, if I ever did
right.
drive that car, and I probably could have went back and caught the leader. It
wow.
was definitely, it felt like a big boost of confidence that I have so much in myself that I can be able to
right.
do that.
Well, that's cool. Was that car totaled? By the way,
I junked it.
It did. Done. Okay.
Yeah,
well, you know,
me and Tim Mastering, it took
yeah.
us 2 days to get the engine out of the car.
Wow.
I mean, but they went over the claw and just picked up the car and dropped it in a pile.
That's
the whole car. We just, the only
well,
thing,
you know what?
The only thing that was good on it was the motor. It broke the transmission. It broke the
wow.
drive shaft. It was only it was good on
you did
motor.
That, man. I just
seat,
like, but you know,
the seat wasn't even straight.
No
anymore.
Kidding.
Nothing.
Wow.
The floorboard
That's
was
amazing.
The floorboard of the car was folded under his seat on top of itself.
Wow.
So right Whew. Where his feet go, when Tim bought the car, I went to Tim's house and we added roll cage to
no
the
way.
Car.
No way. That's good.
And I
yeah.
built seat supports for the car
yep.
because the one thing I've always emphasized, even with my kids that ran my Vandals, was
right.
being safe.
Right.
You know, making sure the seats are mounted correctly and making sure that the car was, you know, everything was around that compartment was where we wanted it to stay. So when I went to Tim's house, I added some down bars. I
mm-hmm.
added a bar to come off of this bar here down to the seat frame. And we added a bunch of bars to that car.
Wow.
That was probably about an extra 30 pounds. In a bomber car, it's a 30 pounds.
Right.
But it was good. We moved the seat. We lowered it. We put the CG down lower. We did
wow.
everything we needed to do, fastened it in, added brackets, the whole thing to make sure the seat was mounted in 6 points. So we did everything we needed to do to that car to make it right. When he wrecked, the tunnel was folded over.
Wow.
The foot box is the foot,
yep.
the floorboard underneath his feet. If you're
mm-hmm.
familiar with the Chevelles,
yep.
they have that crossbar that's just in front of the seat
mm-hmm.
area. That was the floor was folded over.
Wow.
That's how hard he wrecked that car. It was wide open throttle into the corner. So there wasn't anything good left in that car.
If it makes you feel any better, I did the exact same thing in Havasu. When I got done, my gear shifter was on the passenger side floorboard. The radiator was sticking out the left fender.
And no, that wasn't a demo race either.
Yeah, that's about what he had.
Yeah,
and I actually straightened it all out and fixed it, and it was faster. So
yeah, there was no fixing it. I think it's in some of the metal we use today. It's somewhere in a scrapyard.
Probably where it belongs, you know. Sometimes when they're done, and just move on.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But see, some of these stories and experiences, I think, are just as important as a trophy. So, like
yeah.
you said, that trophy he didn't get in the bandit class, you have a story that you can tell
right.
for, you know, the rest of your life. Well, when I was racing, this happened.
Right.
Because it is. It's exciting, and you live through it, and you move past it, and you learn stuff. I think it's just as cool. My personal.
Well, you know, and nothing's better than, and it sucks when that happens, but nothing's better when you get out of that car and you're okay, you know, and those things that you put into it to make the seat right, that's probably one of the most important things that we all forget about is you know, how you feel in that
you know,
car.
Well, the ambulance brought him back from Havasu, they brought him back to the pit area, and the PMT there said, you know, we want to make sure that
sure.
he,
and then
he may have a concussion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, well, you have a concussion. Have it in the car.
Right.
He had to go at Bandle. He had to go jump into, you know, and I'm
right,
like, you want to go do this? Let's go
sure.
get right back in this thing. You know, I mean, and he did, and he hopped right in there, and I don't think he ever had any concussion from the thing.
Right.
You know, he had his Hans on, he had all the safety
right.
paraphernalia there. So the emphasis for me has always been on making sure that compartment is
safe. Yeah.
Ever the rest of the car, I don't really care. But
right.
I want to make sure that my grandson or any driver, whoever drove a Bandle
mm-hmm.
for me, was safe all the time.
Did you take bars out when Rob Street got into one of your Bandles?
No.
I'm just joking. I
needed to add a kick to the outside of the car.
Right, the outside, right, a bumper
yeah.
all the way
around.
360.
Yeah.
Move the seat for a few forward.
Yeah,
we're just
Rob
playing. We're just playing, Rob,
yeah.
okay. So. Now that's cool. So, I mean, it's a cool story. It sucks it happened, but you know, you move on and you know, you get experience from it. you know, and you learn what to do, what not to do, and hope it don't ever happen again. So, obviously, you jumped into modified. So, what did you think of that? Get into mod? Did they do the same thing? Here you go. Just go drive this thing.
Honestly, yeah.
You know what to expect? I mean,
no, I didn't. I would go.
Have you watched a mods race before?
Oh, yeah, all
the
time.
Is there anybody you watched out there that you say, hey, I want to learn how to drive like that guy? Or I like his the way this guy drives.
I always been in modified class. I always looked up my dad because he raced
right.
Lucas Oil Tour,
yep.
all that good stuff. So it was really him who I wanted to be able to drive like. And
well, Dad, you have a proud son, so that's cool.
His
you know,
dad.
Yeah, his dad. You know, so you know, did you think he was going to get into the and do well in the modifieds when you guys put him in there?
I know he is going to do well. He's been doing well. We've ran the car 5 times now.
Wow.
And
all at the Bullring? Or
no, none of the
none
at
the Bullring.
No, we ran opening day.
Oh, that's
Bullring.
Right. You guys did get one race in.
Yeah, one,
this,
and then we ran
this year. Okay.
Tucson. We ran 2 Tucson and then
okay.
2 Madeiras.
Okay.
And
well, that's a good experience, by the way. You know, to have those are. All widely different tracks, man.
Yeah,
they all do something different.
One's in Tucson running on the top.
Yeah.
That's
a fast
half mile.
Yeah, you can run. I've seen them guys run 5 wide out there. I mean, that's a wide track. It's fast on the top and it's fast on the bottom. So
yeah.
That's cool.
Definitely. I found out when I went to Madeira that I was a really aggressive, heavy foot driver.
Right.
And I didn't know that until I got to Madeira and my dad and Chris Bray and all them, they're telling me, dude, you got to let the car roll. You're being too aggressive.
You know, it's funny because it's one of those same stories. You got to slow down to go faster. You know, you don't realize you're doing it, especially when you're coming from like a super stock where you got a big, heavy car that you want to drive it in deep and, you know, do different things with it. But you have a modified here that's got all this power, but they're telling you, ease up, you know, slow down so you go faster and roll through the corners. It's crazy to hear that, but that's part of the truth.
Yeah, I definitely realized that my first race ever in a modified that I never understood what my dad would say was that you're driving the car in a straight line. I never understood that until I got in the car and realized that, wow, I'm still driving the race car and I'm going straight.
That's cool to actually learn that this is what I'm doing and you realize it. Wow, I didn't ever realize I did that.
Yeah,
cool to hear
it
that.
It was pretty insane feeling. And just to feel how much torque was under my seat and having to realize what's going on with the car, what's this doing and what's this doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really good experience.
You know, and that to me is one of the most important things about being able to visit different tracks and instead of racing at one track all the time. Because you learn something just going to Madeira that's a total different type of track than Vegas or Tucson and to learn something from that and that has to do with your driving experience, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Definitely felt like when I went from Tucson when you're running the top, having to learn how to run the top.
Did Tucson feel like a bando race to you? You
no,
know,
it
kinda?
Was actually like
really
honestly it felt like I was racing the biggest track of my life.
But it's a super wide track. I mean, it's probably a half mile on the top and a 3/8 mile on the bottom, you know?
It is. It's figure out how to learn how to drive on if I ever went to the bottom, how to learn to drive on a flat surface.
Right.
It's completely flat. It feels like you're leaning over. And it was just completely, because I can go on the top and pass everybody on the top, or I can go to the middle and being able to conserve a little bit.
Right.
So
that's cool.
And then just having to learn how to conserve in a modified race when you're racing at Madeira and it's 75 laps.
Yeah.
I never understood how to do
that. Well, you know what? And that's a good point, too, because you're used to 35 lap races and things like that. Now you're hitting 75 lap races. What do you think going past that 35 lap mark? Like, to me, because I'm Gary's age, 100, you know, I'm going like 40 laps. Like, man, can this race just be over already? I'm tired, man. Let's get done.
So you actually got to the point where you start losing the tires.
Yeah, I definitely got to a point where I realized that I blew the right rear out and I was screwed. I had nothing left in the tires. So the next race definitely figured out that I was
able to conserve tires.
Yeah, I was able to conserve.
Cool.
And I conserved up to the 35 lap point,
right.
And then I was just going, and ended up getting in a little mixed hat last two weekends ago, I think, with Scott Osborne.
Oh yeah, oh.
And
I won't say nothing about Oz.
Yeah.
Oh, you got an altercation with Oz? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
No, that's cool. Me and him got a little roughing, and then brought a caution out, but it was all good in the end.
So you said a couple weeks ago, so you raced pretty recently here, where the rest of us are just kind of twiddling our thumbs and wondering what we got going on.
You
got
to get the thing on a trailer and tow it somewhere.
That's what it is. Okay, you can't just wait for the track to come to you.
We
can't push it.
Yeah.
Right, you got to air it, though.
You got to put it on a trailer.
It goes
to Madeira, tow it to Tucson, spend $2,000, and come on.
What do you think of the drive up?
Well,
Madeira?
Hell, that sounds like fun. Why don't we do that next week?
What do you think of the drive up to Madeira? Was that the first time you've been to Madeira?
No, I've been up to Madeira
before.
Times.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in the modified, that's the first time you raced.
That was the first time I ever raced there.
Okay.
And I didn't realize how bumpy
rough
track.
That's
rough
what I keep
track.
Hearing. Yep.
And that there is three lanes, and it's two are flat and one's curved,
wow.
And one's on a banking. So it definitely felt like in the corners, it felt like a big Havasu is what it really felt like.
Wow,
in the corners.
That's cool. It's a good way to look at it, I guess. So
yeah.
But you know, each track you go to, you learn something
experience,
new, something
yep.
different. You know, that seat time is just, you know, super valuable. You just can't put a price on that. So that's cool.
Yeah. So his last trail, he's run Havasu.
Yeah.
He's run Tucson, he's ran Madeira, he's ran the Bull Ring.
Are you looking forward to a half mile track next, maybe? A big track? Or what?
I think the next track that he would have to go out and get something on would be fun for him would be the perfectly dead flat.
Yeah,
Urbandale,
there you go.
The 38th mile in Urbandale.
The flat one, yep.
The
smaller
track. You want to call that.
Okay, the infield track, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So to run on a perfectly dead flat racetrack, because every racetrack he's been to has banking.
Right.
So that would be
the
next learning
right.
curve.
Or maybe you come out and race it to Willow Springs. That's a pretty flat track out there.
Flat.
So,
yeah.
Cool. No, hey, you know.
So when's the next race? October 31st. We'll be back at Madeira.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, right now his car's getting.
Yeah, it's getting. We're putting a new front clip on it.
Okay.
It's a Phil's Fabrication front clip, but it's built by Pathfinder.
Okay. Without giving away any of the secrets, I guess, is that why did you choose to reclip the car? I mean, you looking for speed, you looking for more balance?
Because I was a dumbass.
Oh, okay.
Pretty simple as that. I was a dumbass. I bought him a car
right.
that was back east that
okay.
I saw on the internet
mm-hmm.
that I was buying from a race car company out there
okay.
back in the Midwest or
sure,
central,
sure.
No,
sure.
middle America. And I talked to the guy 3 or 4 times. He told me what a great car it was. And there was no issues. Couldn't find anything wrong
mm-hmm.
with the thing. And he was selling it for a friend and blah, blah, blah. Well,
ain't that every car you talked about?
I wanted Ethan in a modified for opening day here
sure.
at the Bull Ring and for this season.
So you made some
decisions.
So
I made a decision that everybody's told me that I was a fool for. And I guess I am. But the problem is not. He didn't hurt the car.
Sure.
The problem was that I bought it and it has a Chevelle clip, which is narrower
mm-hmm.
than all
the fab
the
stuff,
Impalas
right.
and stuff like that are all
okay.
wider cars. So since we have this big break between the last race that Ethan ran and the next race that we're going to, I talked to his dad and he talked to my wife, who wrote the check.
The banker.
Yeah, and she wrote him a check. And the
you
car,
don't talk to her. I'm
yeah.
not talking to her.
Yeah.
Tell her I didn't send you.
So, yeah.
Don't
so,
mention my name.
So my grandson is getting a new front clip put on the car. We're going to widen the car and, make it like –
Make it competitive with these other modifieds that you're racing against.
Right,
okay.
exactly. So it'll be a competitive car when they're done with it. That's where his dad is tonight. His dad's working
cool.
on it. His dad's doing that.
Hopefully listening while he's working.
He said he was going to be monitoring because his grandson's on. He doesn't listen when I'm on.
Well, of course not. Yeah.
sponsored by cool. Bank of Rivera. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where can we get our account set up?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you have to go talk to the missus.
Big
well,
no.
Okay,
then I'm out. I'll just dig in my own pocket.
Keep digging deep. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. You know, it's, you know, it, you always, you know, that's the need for speed. You're always digging for more, you know, a little bit more, whether it's a balance in the car. You know, I've seen some drivers out there, in especially in the modifieds back in the Lucas Oil days, where I've seen some guys like really racing real hard, and they have to try to, you know, and they're fighting to race. And I've seen these other guys that are just consistent, and they're always staying up front, top three, top four. And those are the guys that just, they, after the race, they're like, you know, hey, we did real well. They're happy. You know, and these other guys, like, they really worked for it, because the last race they did crappy. This race they did good. The next race they might do crap because they're chasing something, and they find the balance in the car and get the right clip on there and the right geometry. That's important.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it'll be up to him to learn a new car.
Right.
Because he's got five races in this car, and he thinks this is the way it's supposed to be. And it's going to be better.
Have you been in that modified and been like, hey, this is perfect, man. This is exactly how I want it to feel.
Definitely at some points I think that this is how it is, and I was like, okay, this is what's gonna happen, this is what it needs. But I didn't know that I might be doing the wrong thing. So
right.
It was definitely, I had to be able to adapt to the car and not being adapted to me.
Well, first of all, real quick, how old are you?
16.
16 years old. Do you even have a driver's license to drive on the street yet?
I'm going
to
get it in the,
you know,
future.
So congratulations to you for racing in the modifieds against these really experienced drivers. And, you know, so you got some tough competition out there to learn against. So congratulations for racing against them and just having fun out there.
Yeah.
You want to tell us some sponsors? You got some Racing Optics stuff on, and, you know,
yeah.
Talk about that real quick. We only got a couple minutes left probably. But.
Yeah. Huge thank you to Racing Optics. They've given me endless support on racing. So
what do they do?
Product. They're a racing tear-offs.
Okay.
So they're a big tear-off company. I run all their tinted tear-offs and,
you know,
clear tear-offs, since I don't even run a windshield. So
right.
It definitely saves money in visors, not
cool.
Having to buy so many of them.
Cool. So that's definitely something, you know, and, you know, if somebody wants to get a hold of you about the Racing Optics, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
You can just go through me through Instagram. It'll be ethan.degavara.
Okay.
You can always just contact me, and my message info will be in there.
Okay.
Sun Impact Auto Body, Peace, Love, and Art Shop, Jet Set Concepts, and my mom and dad and everybody that helps me. So grateful for all of them and everything they do.
Yeah, it's cool because, you know, not only do you want to thank your mom and dad, but they probably look at you and they're just proud of what you're doing for them also.
Yeah.
You know, the money is just, that's just part of it. You know, that's the least important part. I mean, it's a necessary, but it's the least important part, because the love for racing is there, and that's what's important, you know?
So what's
the plan? Family together.
What's the plans for the future?
Yeah, there you go.
You want to stay professional in racing or football or?
Honestly, I think I'll always be around racing, but I won't ever, I don't think I'll stop. I think I'll stop racing here in a minute or two.
So you go more football.
Well, here's
what
you
do. College.
You take Mike Kofor's part of it. You go do professional football, and you come back and do some racing later on.
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah. No, I think I'll still always be around helping Peyton Saxton, helping him all the time. I'm sorry, helping him a lot more, I feel like.
Cool. Cool. Well, you know what? Don't ever.
I think he's just going to go to college. Do his thing in college. He was just talking to me today about a mechanical engineering career. So he's going to try to go maybe that direction.
Cool.
Maybe after that, he'll get back into racing at some point or another.
Okay.
Or maybe he'll end up being so rich, he'll end up sponsoring his own man.
There you go, right? There you go. You know what? I hate to say this, we're out of time, but we still want to hear more about Ethan DeGavara, so we're going to have you back.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, we'd like to talk to you, so please come back. And you know, first of all, we'll see live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. I don't know who we're going to have on, or if I'm even going to be here, so maybe you'll see a prettier face here. So, we'll see live. Thanks.